come in?
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's Colby.
You have a nasty habit of surviving.
You know what they say about the fittest?
And welcome one and all to Young Persons Radio right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. It is me, your host, Colby Smith. Young Persons Radio is, of course, as you know, the only show on the airwaves where you, the listener, are guaranteed to be cooler than the host. It's a cool 62 degrees here in Bushwick on just a beautiful spring day, highs in the upper 60s later today. Oh, my, I can't do this. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if I made this show like a morning zoo type scenario, just like regular old, play my classic rock, play the same like 30 classic rock songs every morning, and then just talk about like school closures. I think that's maybe the possible direction we could go, right? Who knows? There was a guy on WKGO Go 106 in Cumberland, Maryland, when I was growing up, which is now WRQE Rocky 106, as I learned when I was home for the holidays last winter, which was a blow of a real rock to my system, to have know that that station had changed its not only its ID but its identity, and it's still Martin in the Morning is who I'm talking about. Martin in the Morning is still there. I listened to him on many a drive to school in the morning, and he could never believe what was happening to him. I once heard him talk for 10, I'm not kidding, 10 minutes. 10 minutes went by with no music because this guy was talking about how he lost his socks. As if it was the first time it had ever happened to anybody. And he had like a very like classic, he was kind of like up here all the time. We got The Who coming at you later. Steely Dan coming up after that. Martin in the Morning. It was that voice talking about how he lost his socks. And so like the AC/DC block ends, and this guy goes, "So I'm looking at my. I'm about to come to the studio at 5 a.m. This it's when this show starts at 6, and I'm opening up my closet, and there aren't any socks in there." And he just kept repeating that for no less than 10 minutes. He could not believe. He just assumed this position of incredulity toward everything that was like even remotely in the zeitgeist. Like he was talking about the show 24, if we remember that that emblem of Bush era politics that was 24. And he was just like he could not believe that characters who were like important to the show got killed off. He seemed to have never heard about this before, and he would just be like, because his co-host was Rhonda, and he would just be like, "We could know each other for years, Rhonda, but on 24, boom, you're dead one day." Just threatening Rhonda on the air. I say all this because that's not this. That's not who we are. This is Young Persons Radio. This is your host, Colby Smith, and this is the only show on the airwaves where you are guaranteed to be cooler than the host. This is also the first live show of the day here on Radio Free Brooklyn. We have Points of Order, the great sports talk show, coming up after that. And after that, we have the Stroll Show, where they interview a lot of local musicians, and they have them come and play their songs. And then after that, we have Objection to the Rule, which is kind of the station's answer to sort of the Sunday morning political talk shows. So we've starting it off with comedy, we're getting some sports, we're getting some music, and we're getting some politics. So all of your talk radio needs can be met in just a few short hours here on Radio Free Brooklyn every Sunday. So please keep the dial on Radio Free Brooklyn for the rest of the morning and early afternoon. Speaking of the station, this is our first show of the new season. We're welcoming a lot of new hosts This week we heard Pandemonium was this week. We had Pan in here last week, and the week before that we had Ryan Watkins, who's one of the hosts of She in the Morning. Those are a couple of Thursday shows, and so we added a dozen new shows to the station lineup this season. So they will be with us for the next 6 months, and please check them out at your leisure. And you can find out more about that on Radio Free Brooklyn.com. Now, if you want to get involved in the station and have a nice Sunday night of music in addition to that, that I am excited to tell you that tonight, this very night, Sunday, May 21st, at 5:30 p.m. at a secret location, Radio Free Brooklyn is having its Season 5 concert fundraiser featuring Bushwick Hotel, Love Honey, and the Falling Birds. And also Radical Vaudeville, hosted by Faceboy, who you just heard on Art Star Scene Radio right before this very program. Now, for this value, you know, you're getting all of this entertainment. What would you pay for that? $30? $40? What if I told you that it was only $10? You get to support the station that you are listening to right this very moment and see three great bands all right in a row tonight. So if you want to learn more about that, including where it is, I can't divulge the secret location on the air, you can go to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets. That's www.radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets to find out more. And that is at 5:30 tonight, and I hope to see you there. And if you can't make the show for whatever reason, I would suggest going to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge to find out other ways you can support the station. This is a nonprofit station. We don't sell you anything. We don't run commercials. It's operated completely independently. So we survive on donations from listeners such as yourself. So if you want to learn how to support the station that does not involve coming to the fundraiser tonight, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. That's radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. Now, we're talking about the station. And I know you guys have expected a certain bluster, perhaps, from me at the top of the show. Maybe a certain bravado about how well we're doing ratings-wise in the studio rankings. But to be completely honest with you guys, it hasn't been there the past couple weeks. We used to be top 10. We used to be in the leaderboards every week without fail, unless there was some kind of technical failure. And I apologize once again for Crystal Beth for the website being down when she was in the studio. But she might be back next week. Fingers crossed. But the past couple weeks haven't been cracking it. Haven't been cracking it, folks. Have not been cracking that top 10. And sometimes it has the potential to get me down, but then I remember I've got a lot to hope for. I've got a lot going on, and I have faith that we'll crack that again. We'll crack that top 10. We'll crack that top 5. We'll crack that top 3. We'll crack that number 1 slot, and we will be back in the high life again. Seem to me I'm coming in too soon. You want in on this? Okay. Okay, now.
It used to seem to me that my life went on too fast, and I had to take it slowly just to make the good parts last. But when you're born to run, it's so hard to just slow down. So don't you be surprised to see me in the brighter part of town. Then I'll be back in the high life again. All the doors that closed one time will open up again. We'll be back in the high life again. All the eyes that watched us once will smile and take us in.
We'll be right back on Young Persons Radio. yes. Steve Winwood, back in the high life again, right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith. I'm very excited to welcome to the studio today my guest, Jason Trachtenberg, who is a comedic singer, writer, cooking show host, big band leader, and the understudy to an off-Broadway doctor. He is an Edinburgh Fringe Fest Herald Angel Award winner and a TED conference speaker, and he is the president of the 4th Street Food Co-op, which is the only place where I get my oatmeal. And he was nominated, is this true? You nominated as the sexiest vegetarian of the year 2006, 2007, and 2008 by PETA. He is also the former host of Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg on this very radio network. I'm very excited to have him here today. And to begin, he is going to play a song. So, Jason, if you would not mind, take it away.
I don't mind at all, Colby. And thank you. And thank you to all your listeners. You can put the show back in the high life again.
That's right.
Yeah, number one. This song goes out to the guy who I used to be, and anyone who's out there jazzing it up on a Saturday night. You know, you work all week for that. You might even get a new haircut or a new shirt, and then there you are, and it's Saturday night, and this is what it comes down to. Well, it's a Saturday night, and you've got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love. Yeah, you're all worked up and you got some kind of love, some kind of loving tonight. Out of work and out of sight, I think you're willing, then again you know you just might, but it's Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love. Yeah, you're all jacked up and you got some kind of love, some kind of loving, all right. Conspiracies, they come and go, just like that government you used to overthrow. But it's a Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some the telephone has come and gone. So have the letters you've read. We're talking through each other about some real enough news, but I can't hear a word that you said. Celebrities, they're obsolete. The celebration, well, it better be discreet, but it's a Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love. Yeah, you're all doctored up and you got some kind of love, some kind of love tonight. Well, you're so good at killing time, especially when you are killing all of mine. But it's a Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love. Yeah, you're all beddied up and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, and all right. The politic of great escape, the rank and file, what makes America great. But it's a Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love. The moon is void, of course it is. So was that wrong that you write it? I'm copping from my conscience like a mandolin tip, and in truth, I'm feeling downright excited. There is no proof in consequence. The only truth is now to go against expenses. It's a Saturday night and you got some kind of love, some kind of love, some kind of love, Yeah, you're all cracked out, and you got some kind of love. Some kind of loving tonight. The benefits of overtime that represent the other side of that fine line. But it's a Saturday night, and you got some kind of love. Some kind of loving tonight. Some kind of loving. But what's the point of show and tell when everything is now controlled by COINTEL? But it's a Saturday night, and you got some kind of love. Some kind of loving tonight. Some kind of loving tonight. Some kind of loving tonight.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Thank you, Colby. My pleasure. That one comes from the heart.
Oh, I love it. Jason, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here, Colby, and I'm so glad to be able to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and be in midday form by 10 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Of course.
So that song is that something you do with the English speakers, or how does that fit into your busy oeuvre?
Sure.
Now?
And thanks for using French on the air to appeal to our multicultural listeners as
That's
well.
Right.
Well, one of the things I've done, and I'd say anyone could do this, is I mix and match my projects and my music as far as things go. As an example, I wrote that song just as a song, and yes, I did figure that would fit into my pop band, the English Speakers US, not to be confused with the Crackers Crunchers UK, US. But then, as it turns out, I worked it into my musical, Dr. Glassheart, and adjusted some of the words, like, you know, you're all doctored up, and the benefits of overtime, things that people would talk about in a medical office. As well, too. So all the projects and all the songs can kind of work within each other. And then also, it also just makes it easier as far as, like, you know, you just wrote 10 new songs. No, actually, you know, use them for something else as well, too. So it's, you know, it's easy to branch out into other things by using the same things for the other things.
Does that, I guess that, you know, I feel like a question people who are as busy as you will often get is, how do you balance everything? And it sounds like it's taking care of itself, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Going to bed early allows for more hours in the day. As well, too. And I try and stay off the internet. That seems to be a tremendous, except for, you know, we're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Of course,
but I mean, I'm talking about like so-called non-productive internet. You know, obviously, we're giving people information here, but, like, you know, things like Facebook, no one will come up with an original idea, or even if you come up with your idea, you'll put it out there and you think you've done something, but you really haven't. It'd be better just to find a different medium. I think that Facebook is definitely getting in the way of our creative progress. Unfortunately, even though people think, it gives the illusion that, you know, I've got this funny joke and I'm going to put it out there.
Right. Wait, I have talked about this with the comic artist Max Winters, who's called the show before, because we were in Pittsburgh together last month, and we were saying that in order to be creative, you need that time to yourself, and, like, time to let yourself get bored in a way. So, like, if you've got your phone on you all the time, you're always entertaining, you're always consuming, but you're not creating.
Right. The technology is a bit of a creative killer.
I think so.
Although it does help in certain ways, and obviously bands can record really inexpensively now with digital, and that's helped. I mean, you have to use it to its advantages. And, you know, same thing, like when television came out. You know, this is going to, you know, spread information. This is going to awaken people up to all these ideas. Radio as well, too. Well, it didn't come out. The internet, same thing. Oh, my gosh, look at this. All this. Nope. So I think if we become aware that this is what happens, then maybe we, as humanity, and I'm not going to say artists, because then that separates artists from humanity, but let's all be as one here, can rise above this internet, this computer technology domination, and mass media domination that's really taking our individuality away from us.
I feel like there, with television especially, is where I've thought about this a lot, just because, you know, as someone who works primarily in the comedy space, it's very easy to be like, well, I have to watch this because I have to see what's going on out there, when in fact you're really just kind of sitting on the couch at the end of the day.
Sure. Maybe instead of binge watching, just watch the first 5 minutes of something, because if you can't do it, same with a songwriter, a musician, if you can't do it in the first song, if you can't do it in the first verse, same with these television shows, if you can't do it in the first 30 seconds, Why waste my time? Yeah. Just 30 seconds. That's it. And then on to the next thing. And so you're using the quick paced information age ethos as a way of actually, you know, improving yourself as well too, and not binge watching. That just sounds gross.
I physically can't do. If I watch more than two episodes of something back to back, I feel like a deep discomfort in my gut. I'm just like, I have to get up. I have to do something else.
Even anything, even like the classic shows, it's like, you know, when I refer to like often All in the Family or something like that.
Yeah.
Just like, still, two is enough. Right. Not eight is enough. Two is enough. Two is enough. That's what they should call that show.
Oh yeah.
Two
I mean, part depending on who you talk to, that's part of me not being able to relax.
You're just like everyone else, Colby. Seriously,
exactly.
And you know you are.
Yeah. It's true. I'm out there. You know.
And I mean that in a good way. I mean, you're definitely out there.
In a relatable way.
You host shows. You're definitely out there.
That's
you put
right.
yourself out there. You're amazing to work with. You have a lot of friends. People like you.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
That's very kind.
Of course.
This is why I had you on the show.
Of course.
I want everyone to compliment me on the air.
No, that's what I do.
Speaking of which, if you want to call in and compliment me, our number is 904-606-0842. That's 904-606-0842. And of course, 606-0842 is the B-52s song, or so I've been told.
Same here.
Yeah. That was on the... Jason, as I mentioned earlier, used to be a host here on the station. How does it feel to be back in the studio?
Back in the high life again.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I'll tell you about Radio Free Brooklyn, though. It improved my communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a little bit more about technology and how to do downloads and how to post podcasts or whatever. So, you know, Lisa Levy was actually very instrumental in helping me out with the technology stuff.
Who was a guest here a few weeks ago.
That's right. And also, we had a group of all of our hosts, all the talk show hosts, you know, including Colby and Lisa Levy and Jonathan and a couple other ones too.
Jonathan B. Lerner.
His show is called
The Next Best Thing.
So we'd have this group that we would have over at Lisa Levy's apartment, and just some really smart, special times. It's like, I felt smart being in that group. And I want to have my life filled with striving for intellectual comfort.
Yeah.
Not supremacy or any higher, but just to feel comfortable in a learning environment.
Yes.
So something I never got in school.
Yeah. I think it is. It's talking about our meetings. I mean, it was very helpful for me personally just to be around people who are trying to do this same thing. I mean, I'm not sure how this is going to sound. It might sound shitty. I don't know. But no, I don't know any other comedians of the radio show right now. So it's nice to have a network of people who have that.
And similarly, you know, it's good to be not just define yourself as a comedian. I'm a comedian. I write jokes. No, you're a talk show radio host.
Yeah.
You're an interpersonal disciplinarian.
Yeah.
Who knows what you're going to be doing 5 years from now? You could be a writer. You could be we'll let the future take care of itself.
A Renaissance man.
I was thinking about.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. The Renaissance had its ups and downs, but it's very important for artists and musicians to do more than one thing. You know, for instance, like I always point to I hate to single them out, but you know, Tom Petty. I'm a songwriter. I write songs. Oh yeah, so does everyone else. You know, and it's just, who doesn't write songs? The guitar is meant to be played. I'm a guitar player. Yeah, well, that's what the strings are put on there for.
Yeah,
and you know, it's really important to do many different things. Not to do it, but just because it feels comfortable and knowledgeable.
Yeah,
and, you know, to branch out.
Now you say you know I'm up to a lot of things. Would you say that I don't know how if you recall this era of the show, but I've been long trying to get myself declared a living landmark for the city of New York. The New York Landmarks Conservancy will host. They will name living landmarks every year, five or so. And I think we have someone who's going to call in at some point very soon, who's going to be able to talk to me about that. Because there's this thing the New York Landmarks Conservancy. It's basically saying you're as important to the city as like a building, you know. It's like the Flatiron Building. You're a living landmark.
Can you give me a few examples of other living landmarks?
It's a lot of like restaurateurs who get it every year. And it's also, Carol King is one. Who else? Lauren Bacall was another. And in fact, I think I might have a caller on the line right now.
Here we go.
Maybe a representative of the New York Landmarks Conservancy. A representative who can answer some of my questions. A caller, are you on the program?
Hi there.
Hi. Yes,
Tim Biggle with the Landmark Society.
Tim Biggle.
Tim Pickle.
Pickle. Okay. Excuse me. You know, your office. You know, if listeners might remember that. I tried to get your office on the air way back in like February, March, and this is the first time I'm getting any kind of response.
Well, my department has a pretty widespread gag order on any incoming correspondence from you and your show.
Okay.
You've been pestering us with emails, dawn till dusk. It's smacks of desperation. There's a sort of inherent tragedy to it, just your sort of dogged persistence.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we finally caved. We thought we'd give you a call to sort of end this matter once and for all.
Okay, well, great. Well, Tim Pickle, welcome to Young Persons Radio. What is your rank, I guess? What is your title at the Landmarks Conservancy?
Well, internally, it's captain.
Captain.
We kind of go by a general maritime code.
Okay.
But for all intents and purposes, just think of me as the vice president.
Okay, the vice president of the Landmarks Conservancy. Okay.
VP.
Yeah.
So you've got your complaints all the way up to the top, Colby. I hope you're, pleased with yourself.
I am.
I'm a little embarrassed.
Okay. Well, thank you for sinking low enough to call this show for even just a few. I won't take too much of your time. Just a few minutes here. I just wanted to ask you some questions. What are some of the criteria that you look for in naming a living landmark?
Being good. I mean, you
can do a little better than that, my friend.
You know, just having some kind of inherent quality to it.
Okay.
Really, it's a low bar.
Okay.
You know.
A low bar. Okay.
People who want it, find out they already have been given the status. And we hand it out like candy, really.
Okay, like to
not
who?
Not a hard thing to get.
Like to who?
Just recently, Matt Strickland.
Okay.
He's an up-and-coming young chap.
Yeah, we host a show. He's been a guest on this show. We host a show together.
Oh.
New Bits,
well,
the fourth Sunday of every month.
Awkward for you.
Well, no, he hasn't mentioned it to me, and now I'm wondering why Matt Strickland is a living landmark.
Yeah, it's pushing it a little bit.
He's a living landmark. He does a lot of good work for the city. He puts on great shows that are, you know, original and dynamic, seeking something that really, you know, hasn't sort of been found or put on stage before. Just a sort of original comedic voice.
Who else?
You know,
if you did
something like that, maybe something like that would work.
Okay,
something
gosh.
Sort of original and groundbreaking.
I'll take that into account.
Or just, you know, funny.
This is a harsh reality, Colby.
If you wanted to have someone on your show who wasn't, like a college music scholar... maybe that would be a good start.
Have some respect, Tim.
I'm just assuming you went sort of drudging around the archives of the NYU radio station and pulled out the first intern you could find.
Wow. Okay. So Matt Strickland is a living landmark. Jason Trachtenberg, whose pedigree goes on and on and on, is not but an NYU radio intern.
No, this is a tough town, and I've gotten used to that at this point.
You said it was a low bar, and yet, you know, you're dishing it out pretty
it's
thick.
It's a low bar that you're not meeting. It's a low bar for a regular human, you know, with a consistent artistic output.
Okay, all right, give me some other names here. Who else do I got to knock off the list?
We got Maggie Sirota.
Maggie Sirota is a living landmark. Okay, that one actually, that one I buy.
Oh, you buy that?
Yeah.
You buy? Okay. Let's see. You got Emily Bogue.
Okay.
You got, Mary Houlihan.
Mm-hmm.
I see where this is going, actually.
Okay, so all of my previous guests.
Yeah. Let's move on, Colby. What do you say?
Yeah, this is... This is crazy.
Oh, you don't want to linger on this? You've been sending us emails every day for the last 6 months.
Well, I didn't know I was inviting you to call in and just trash me and my guest to our faces.
The last 10 emails you sent literally closed with that. it closed with, I invite you to call in, and one then implicitly trash me and my guests to our faces.
Okay. Well, that bell means I got to move on. Tim.
So we're not going to be getting any more emails?
Tim, the emails are still going to come. I want to talk to somebody else. I want to talk to the president.
Yeah.
You want to talk to someone higher up than the captain?
You're the vice president.
Yeah, the admiral. You guys have an admiral?
Commodore, but okay.
Okay, all right. All right, fine. Fine. Quibble over maritime law all you want.
So we're done here?
Oh, we're done, Tim. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Great, great. Well, I got what I asked for. Somebody from the Landmarks Conservancy called.
It's hard to get these people to call, so I
it
guess
is.
At least he's doing his job, and
oh, man.
That we can appreciate.
Oh, man. All right, well, we have another caller on the line. Do we want to take another caller?
Let's do it.
All right, let's. Hopefully this is a little more positive energy. Caller, welcome to the program.
Hey, Colby.
It's Tim Keck.
He knows, Tim. You're known.
Dang.
It's actually
getting recognized. I told you that the other day, right?
Well, it's actually the new caller ID system that we have up here on the computer. We can tell, we see everyone's name and number who called in, so that's why we knew it was the conservatory calling from the last call as well.
Yeah, Tim, you got recognized from this show last week.
Yeah, somebody, I went to a wrestling show with a somewhat random group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, oh, wait, are you the Tim Keck from the Colby's radio show?
That makes me happy as a clam, Tim. That's how you were known.
That's good, because it really bummed me out.
It did?
I said, really? After my vast body of work, this is the one thing I'm known for? Colby's radio show?
Your vast body of work?
Person's radio? I mean, for goodness sake, it's a given. This is the only radio show where you're guaranteed to be cooler than the host.
Yeah? So you're cooler than me.
Well done, Tim. Hey, Tim, how was the wrestling show?
I did it. We all did it.
How was the wrestling show?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was very, very cool.
Yeah. It's very entertaining.
Very cool. I don't know if you're a big wrestling fan.
I was in the 80s, actually. I checked out around 83. But I also checked out of society in general.
Check back in. It's gotten good.
Okay, thanks.
I've only gotten into it as an adult because as a stand-up comedian, it's my obligation to also be a pro wrestling fan.
Of course.
It feels that way these days, doesn't it? I feel like everywhere you turn, it's these comedians being like, how do we make this more like wrestling?
Well, the wrestlers are...
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's pretty much how I approach everything.
Well, the wrestlers are, how can we make this more like comedy? So it's, you know, it goes both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. They got these intricate storylines.
They do have some very funny gimmicks.
They do, yeah. James Cross, also a guest on this show, told me that all of his favorite jokes come from wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are great. Got some really good ones.
Tim,
well,
how are things for you this morning?
I didn't call to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, what's on your mind, Tim?
I have this new campaign I'm trying to get going, and I wanted to push it out there, and I thought the show would be a good place for it.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, by all means.
Let's do it.
So, I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
Brevard County.
Yes.
And I'm trying to rep Brevard County, you know, wherever I can go. Satellite Beach, baby, you know, the 3-2-1. And it turns out there's this society called the Living Landmark Society in Brevard County.
In Brevard County.
So my goal is to kind of become a living landmark of Brevard County. Now, I know you're probably not really too familiar with it, but it's like, you know, like a famous landmark is like a building.
Uh-huh.
Or some sort of like a historic structure. And basically a living landmark is a person who embodies, you know, and is kind of precious to the city. And so anyway, that's something I thought would be a fun bit to be pushing.
So you are now going to push your own living landmark campaign for your home county in Florida, even though I've been beating this drum on the air since January.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where I got the idea from.
I'm telling you right now where you got it.
I don't know. I was just kind of on Facebook the other day, and I saw, Living Landmark Society, Brevard County, put two and two together. You know, I'm from there.
Well, keep us posted, Tim.
Yeah, let us know, Tim.
Let's know how it goes. It's good to be involved in something. It's good just to do something these days. So, yeah, we wish you luck in the 3-2-1.
That's right.
Yeah, keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course.
Much.
Of course. Call back next week, Tim.
It's hard work to be Florida's favorite son.
Yeah, Florida's favorite son, Tim Keck. All right. We're going to talk next week, okay?
Okay.
Actually, you're Florida's
join the show. Tim out.
Florida's favorite non-conforming gender pronoun.
That's right. Following up from last week. Yeah. Now, geez, the way things are going, Martha is going to call in and be like, "I'm living landmark of bird land."
She is.
Or whatever. Boy. I didn't talk to Martha last week.
Yeah, maybe she's on sabbatical.
Could be. I still think she swore off the show after we talked too much about Disney a couple weeks.
No. I'm. She's a good caller.
Yeah. Now, Jason, there are any number of things I could ask you about that you have going on.
Anything except for living landmarks would be is on the table.
We hinted at this earlier, but you are a member of or the leader of Pendulum Swings Big Band. Also, the English Speakers US, which, and you have a show on the 30th of May
exactly.
at Pine Box.
And by 30th of May, I meant 30th of June at Pine
Box. Oh, 30th of June.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay. Gotcha.
So I have two bands, a play, and I'm involved with the health food industry as mm-hmm. well, too.
Yes.
I launched a cooking show as well, too. And it's really important just to do different things. And I mentioned this earlier because it's you want to become a living landmark and all that.
Yes.
But just to reach out about things that you're passionate about and as Colby was talking about earlier on, just like get off the internet and you'll find your passion. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just being taught about all these reinforcing all these beliefs that you already know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, I look at the groups that I'm, you know, belong to on the F book. It's like all these things. Of course, I believe in, you know, the Vegan Society, the JFK Assassination Society, you know, the Free Oswald Society, the you know, all these Bushwick stuff for sale societies. And I was like, of course, that's what I'm into. How about something, you know, new and fresh and exciting?
Hold on. Are you trying to force a JFK assassination topic onto the air? Because I'll go there. I'll go there with you.
I famously wrote a song called Don't Get Me Started About JFK. I'm actually we'll dedicate 2 minutes.
Okay.
I'm a level 7 assassinologist.
Okay, what does that mean?
It basically means that my level of understanding it goes pretty profound, and that I've dedicated over 30 years of my life of and it's gotten to a point where everything I see is somehow connected to the assassination. You know, I see a certain bus route. Okay, well, that you know, that's to do with Oswald's escape route. You know, and I'll wrap it up real quick, then pass it over to you for a minute.
Okay,
that'll be my minute. My closest connection with the assassination right now is that I have befriended a woman named Judith Very Baker.
Okay.
Judith Very Baker was Lee Oswald's secret girlfriend in New Orleans in the summer of 1963, worked at the Riley Coffee Company with him, and I met her via Facebook, and I met her in person in a hotel room in Long Island City, Queens, and read her book called Me and Lee, which tells about her secret love affair, Lee Oswald. It had to be secret, not because they were covert agents,
sure.
but because they were both married at the time.
Sure.
So too, it's a really beautiful story, and
wow.
with Judith Very Baker's approval, I've been authorized to write the musical based on her memoir called Me and Lee. It's going to be on Me and Lee the Musical, and we keep in contact via email and messages about once a month. So this is Lee Oswald's girlfriend lover from New Orleans in the summer of 63, and she's a level 10 plus assassinologist. She taught things the researchers, she put it together in ways that the researchers had no idea, such as bringing in the importance of Inca, Dr. Alton Ochsner, and Dr. Mary Sherman. I also recommend reading the book Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam, as far as like learning what Oswald was really doing.
Yeah.
The two keys to the assassination are Ruby's background and what was Oswald really doing. And then it all comes together very clearly at that point. And it's a fascinating story.
I cannot wait to come see the musical that you're working on about that.
It's a beautiful thing. The music's already done. I still have to work on the. I still have to do the book. The book's always the hardest part for me. But
yeah.
the songs are done. The story's done. The timeline's done. I've reviewed it with Judith for verification. Like for instance, I called the Carousel Club. It was the wrong club because that was his club in Dallas. He actually had another club in New Orleans. Like just little things like that to make he meaning Ruby, of course.
Yeah.
Just clarify some stuff. You know, I know Oswald's social security number. You know, I got pretty deep into it. And then got to a point where I had to put away the literature unless I'm working on it for my project.
Sure. I have heard, and after this we'll move on.
Sure.
I have heard that George H.W. Bush, who was in the CIA at the time, was the first person notified after JFK was assassinated.
We should have been. He was right there in Dallas at the time.
Yeah,
he was there. The major players were, you know, who we know by name, of course, were, you know, George Bush, Richard Nixon was involved, Lyndon Johnson, mm-hmm. of course, was deeply involved. And then interestingly, there's this whole other level of, like, you know, Woody Harrelson's dad was involved. I mean, it's
what is that connection?
Charles the Hitman Harrelson, Woody Harrelson's dad. Now, apparently, there were seven or eight different assassination teams forming a coagulation of Crossfire. That's why it's called Jim Mars' famous book. It's called Crossfire.
Yeah.
If I recommend one book, it's Jim Mars' book.
Okay.
And so there were seven teams. There was one abort team, of which Lee Oswald was on the abort team. Mm-hmm. Lee Oswald, I know we said we'd spend 2 minutes on this, but that was the song goes like this. Go away. Don't get me started about JFK. Anyway, dreams were meant to fall apart. And don't get me started about Harvey Lee and Bullets 3. And don't get me started about Rubenstein and Palestine. And it goes, we have a caller.
They should call the...
Oh, they call the wrong number.
Yeah.
Oops, wrong number.
904-606-0842 is the number. 904-606-0842. Stop calling the station number.
Oh.
It's old. We don't use it anymore.
Yeah, call the
904-606-0842. There is so much I had planned to talk to you about today, and we already have only about 10 or 12 minutes left.
If we can't do it in 12 minutes, then we shouldn't do it at all.
I agree. I bet we can rapid fire. There are two segments that I want to make sure I get to. One is the one we do every week, which is the Young Person's Radio Questionnaire. So maybe we should start with that.
Let's do 1, 2, 3.
We'll talk tunes.
Okay.
We'll talk tunes.
Let's do it.
Let's see. Let me find. Okay. This is a segment I've developed over months of intense study. It is the Young Person's Radio Guest Questionnaire, and it goes as follows. Question number one, do you prefer bar trivia or karaoke?
Now, I'm going to answer this question with a four-prong answer.
I love that.
Okay. Both to the affirmative and to the questionable.
Okay.
The affirmative first.
Yes.
Karaoke. A wonderful way of people coming together, singing songs. Music brings us together. You can be goofy. You can be call on the other number. Colby, give out the number again.
904-606-0842.
Yeah. The wavy sea has dried up.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Oh, geez. Although it's so easy to remember.
I know.
So it's hilarious. You see people do their interpretations of songs. You can do impressions of different artists.
Yep.
It's always comical. And musicality, you know, it's a connection of our humanity. Bar trivia. Learn interesting things about that you hadn't heard before. Learn facts. Maybe discover new interests. New areas of you know, research for you. You could do maybe meet a new friend at the bar trivia over a certain thing. Have someone explain something that you didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The questionable. You're in a bar. It's a stagnant atmosphere, and you're hurting yourself with alcohol.
Mm.
Each drink kills 1 million brain, heart, liver cells. Each drink of alcohol. You're singing songs that you already know. No original song will be written at that moment. You're hearing information that society has deemed trivial and is of very little meaning to anyone else. Next question.
The next question is as follows. Going to the movies... I think I know the answer to this. Going to the movies versus streaming something at home.
I have a two-pronged answer to this question, Kobe. Going Perfect. To the movies, being with other people, enjoying an artistic event in a combined atmosphere, possibly chatting to some of the new people after the movie about a shared experience.
Hmm.
Staying home. The comfort of your own home, making your own snacks, saving money, and maybe watching two or three movies, possibly the first 5 minutes of each show, as I was talked about earlier. Okay.
Yes.
The questionable. Spending $13 to $18 for some overblown Hollywood, you know, monstrosity that's actually killing society and art due to the millions of dollars that have thrown away just to shoot like one scene, shutting streets down, and making a completely unrealistic environment and making our country look pretty dumb. And the worst thing about the movies is they actually took a, I'm gonna okay if anyone's dining right now I ask you to put down your fork and knife just for a second. They did a sample of the seats in a theater in Los Angeles to what strains of bacteria were on the seats,
oh,
and they found 3,000 different contaminants, including things that I cannot mention in good faith due to the heat and the wetness and the moisture of the seat. So every time you sit down in a movie theater, you're getting ones of 3,000 strains of different, we'll just call it bacteria for argument's sake. Staying home, you're not coming up with original ideas. You're ignoring your friend or your partner or your children as you're zoning out, you know, into Netflix land. Okay, next question.
What is the best concert you ever saw?
I've seen a lot. Earl Oaken. He's Earl Oaken. Uh-huh. You know Earl Oaken?
I do not.
He is a British musical comedian and at such a high level. He's probably not in his 70s by now, and he's one of my absolute favorites. And my other favorite is Baby Gramps. Baby Gramps is a Seattle living legend who actually was often compared with artist The Spoon Man from the famous Spoon Man song from the band whose singer died recently.
Yes.
Baby Gramps and Earl Oaken are my two favorite concerts of people you may not have heard of. As far as who you've heard of, obviously Elvis Costello and the Attractions, The Kinks. There's one more question, right?
Yes. The final question is, what is a movie you know is bad but enjoy anyway?
I have to go with Bill Murray's 1979 vehicle, Meatballs.
Meatballs!
Directed by Ivan Reitman? Reitman?
Yeah. Is it Ivan Reitman?
I just don't want to pronounce it, but that's how it is, yeah. It was his debut. You can look it up, Colby.
I'm looking it up right
anyway,
now. I want to make sure we get it
Meatballs
right.
Meatballs is so sincere. It has a couple of really sweet songs in the soundtrack as well, too. And I think Bill Murray really laid it all out on the line. He gave a performance that I think probably even transcended the script that they had. The characters are all completely believable as well, too. The story is so sweet at the end where the young boy was played by Chris Makepeace, who kind of had maybe one after school special and his career didn't really go where I thought it was going to go to at the time. But yeah, Meatballs always touches me and pulls at my heartstrings. And it's a really sweet movie that's not considered a classic by most.
I Meatballs. Love those answers.
Thanks.
Those are fantastic. I have been surprised. I thought the what's a movie you know is bad but you enjoy anyway would be like the most popular question. But so far, people have been kind of stumped by it.
Well, because they didn't think it out ahead of time like I did.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they should listen to your show before coming on. It's not that difficult, people.
Yeah, for real. Maybe splash some cold water on your face and get out of bed before noon on a Sunday.
It's not that hard. Go to bed before 4 in the morning. Jesus. Nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night. Trust me on this one. Nothing good happens. But everything great happens at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
The streets are clean. The air is fresh. The gym is empty.
It's quiet. Oh, I went out this morning at 8 o'clock to get breakfast before I came to the studio. And it was, I walked just like two blocks in our neighborhood of Bushwick, and it was so peaceful and calming. It put me in a great state for the rest of the day.
The stores are closed. The people are quiet. What more could you want?
Oh, it's the best. Getting up early. Rules! Final.
That
five
was
or
amazing,
six minutes.
Right? That was great. A great five
that
minutes.
That was fantastic. Yeah. That's going in the greatest hits collection.
Thanks.
I wrote this segment just for you because you and I have had a number of great discussions about music, however brief they have been. And I've told you before that one of the things I loved on your show was when you would distract from your own notes just to like go off on a musical topic. That happened repeatedly, and it was always really great. So I am going to name some musicians, and you are going to give me a quick opinion on each one.
Can I say a quick prayer beforehand?
Sure.
Lord, grant me the strength to be positive and kind and understanding of other people's musical shortcomings. Colby, take it away.
All right, so some of these are going to be settling debates we've had on the show before, and others are just ones I'm curious about for you.
Here we go.
So I'll start with one of those.
God, grant me the strength to accept the things I can accept and the courage to know the difference between the two. Go ahead.
Neil Young.
He's got a handful of very important songs. Unfortunately, they all sound the same.
Oh, Jason, these last 10 minutes are going to be perfect.
Bring it on.
David Bowie.
I was actually just listening to some David Bowie yesterday. A real artistic soul. Didn't listen to what other people said, but my thought was when he passed away not that long ago was, oh God, I love the Beatles. He owes everything to the Beatles, but he was generous with that. So does everyone. So that's not his problem. But I even love the '82 stuff. You know, the Let's Dance, the Modern Love.
Oh yeah.
As hits, Heroes was 15 years ahead of its time. The song Heroes, and of course, obviously the Space Oddity stuff and the Life on Mars is sort of untouchable. So yeah, top 10 or top 20 easily.
You know the one I have found myself listening to more and more since he's passed is Scary Monsters.
Is that a record or song?
Yeah, it's I think it was after the like Diamond Dogs trilogy. It was like the next one after that.
I'm not familiar with it, but you know, give him credit. He was friends with John Lennon.
Yeah.
And he also like he would even when his records weren't selling like they were like maybe after Let's Dance and all that, he still just continued to put out music that was important to him, and I think his fans really appreciated it as well too.
One more quick question about David Bowie, then we'll move on to the next.
Yes.
Did you listen to the final record?
I heard it played in a record store, and it sounded, as far as final records go, it's probably one of the better ones.
Yeah, I got to check. I've snoozed on it. So
yeah, far. I just heard it through the speakers, but I guess it was one of those ones where you know you're making your final record, kind of like how George Harrison did and all that. The only thing is, like, Bob Dylan will never know when he's making his final record.
Yes. Yeah. we'll get to him.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Here's another one that I'm very curious about your opinion.
Yes.
Warren Zevon.
I only know Lawyers, Guns, and Money,
yeah.
And I don't really know any other song. So I guess I'll have to,
okay.
Not applicable. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. I feel like he occupies this really weird space where he has like his fan base who insist he's like really important, but I just don't hear it.
Like Jimmy Buffett kind of, right?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I would put him a little higher than Jimmy Buffett in terms of like craftsmanship.
Come Monday is a really unappreciated song by Jimmy Buffett.
I will say right now to everyone listening, I love the song Come Monday. I bet I could name 5 Jimmy Buffett songs I actually genuinely enjoy.
Wow. Most people can't name 2 Jimmy Buffett songs, period.
I know.
All right, let's move on.
Because we talked about him the past couple weeks. John Mellencamp.
Oh, I actually learned to like Brian Adams a little bit more than John Mellencamp, believe it or not. But his stuff, as he has, have both aged well.
Yeah.
You want your rock stars and their music to age well. Which is the case with John Mellencamp.
Mm-hmm. Steely Dan.
I love my Dan.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's fortunate about being 47 years old in 2017 is that I remember when Peg was a hit.
Uh-huh.
And I remember how a song could shape a society.
Yeah.
That song changed the shape of the world. It was like an indentation. That song was so powerful. And roller skating at the rink to that. And all, uh-huh. Yeah, skate a little lower. No, I was like roller skating rinks. Listen, like this is perfect. You've made my childhood. And I thank them because they showed me what was possible with production, with lyrics that you know what he's talking about. Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
But and the music, they're untouchable.
Do you ever go see them at the Beacon when they do their like week-long runs?
I'd say if someone gives me a free ticket for something, I'll go to see anything. Speaking of which, guess what I'm going to go see this afternoon at 3 o'clock from a free ticket.
What's that?
The longest running musical off Broadway, which is, you know it. He knows he's got it at the tip of his tongue. The Fantastics.
Yeah.
it's been running since the late 60s, and it's famously the longest running musical in the history of theater, and I got a free ticket just this morning to go see it.
Oh, wow.
I'm really excited.
Oh, fantastic.
Exactly.
Do that and then swing over to the Radio Free Brooklyn fundraiser.
I'm doing Colby's show. I'm going to go home to make a hummus sandwich. I'm going to go get my snacks at the store on 54th Street. I'm going to go to the Fantastics at 3, and I'll be at the Radio Free fundraiser by 6 o'clock.
Oh.
Also, real quickly about the Radio Free fundraiser,
yes.
Master Lee is also performing. And if you haven't seen Master Lee, he is when you get the prize that we were just talking about earlier in the show, the landmark.
Oh, a living landmark?
Master Lee is a living landmark. And we have more questions. Go ahead, we have a few more
questions.
Oh, yes.
We might have time for
we
one
do, we
more.
Do.
One more.
We could do, it's like 3 minutes left.
Bruce Springsteen.
A lot of people consider, I don't know for those of you who heard the song I did earlier on in the show, Some Kind of Love,
uh-huh.
A lot of people actually compare that song to Bruce Springsteen. And I love Jersey Girl, songs like that.
Well,
and
that's a Tom Waits song. Actually.
Oh, shoot, that's
his
right. I always forget that. I always forget that.
His cover,
right.
But I mean, he
you're
he
right.
Does
I always forget that.
The definitive version.
Obviously, the thing about Bruce that's hilarious is like, you know, like Born in the USA, everyone thought it was like a pro patriotic song, but it turns out it's like an anti patriotic song.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, Bruce is the real deal. I don't listen to his records, but like when Born to Run comes on, I don't turn that off for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that how did he make that in the recordings? And then the part with the xylophone on
I know.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah. I'll give Bruce a thumbs up.
Yeah. Final one. Yeah. Just cause I know you love him is Bob Dylan.
Well, I just, if you had to ask, then you already know.
Good. We'll end it right there.
Yeah.
We have just precious little time left on the show this morning. I want to thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you. I feel like we could do this for 2 more hours.
Count me in, Colby, and if you ever need a last-minute host to live right around the corner,
yes.
Or I mean, a guest, I mean.
I hope you please come back. I would love to set that up.
If someone cancels on you, I could be here in 4 minutes.
Oh,
seriously.
That's so good to know.
4 minutes. I've timed it before.
Great.
For my show. I used to, okay, I can leave it, Ed.
Well, what should we...
what should we direct people to? Where can people find your stuff if they want more from you?
Sure. I do appreciate that. So real quickly, my main focus right now is my musical called Dr. Glassheart.
Yes.
It's a medical musical. It's about a doctor, a nurse, and it's a hilarious look at the medical industry with songs that are orchestrated for a big band a la Count Basie, Frank Sinatra, and Nelson Riddle. We have go to our website, www.drglassheart.com. Once again, it's www.drglassheart.com. That's drglassheart.com. My big band, The Pendulum Swings, is doing a show this Wednesday. And real quickly about that is my daughter has a band called Wooing. My daughter is Rachel Trachtenberg, and she has a band called Wooing, and they are, I liken them to a mini Led Zeppelin. I wish my bands were as powerful as her band is. There's nothing quite like it in music, and I'm not saying that because she's my daughter. She just happens to be my daughter. And so her band is called Wooing, W-O-O-I-N-G, and they had a residency this month at Pianos every Wednesday, and the final show is this coming up Wednesday, the 24th. And so come if you go. Colby, you have plans?
I can come. Oh, I can come.
Can someone say guest list?
Yeah.
Guest list.
Fantastic.
For Colby. Plus one. Bring your gal pal, too. Your mysterious girlfriend that we never hear about.
She don't exist anymore.
Can we edit that in post?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, good. That's good. Make a new girlfriend. Go on okgirlfriend.com or something. Make a new girlfriend.
Right.
Or go to your favorite gender neutral dating site.
Exactly. Yes. We're learning our lessons.
Omar, are we?
We got to wrap the show up, but Jason, thank you again for coming on. We'll be back next week with a big special episode called the Young Persons Radio Memorial Day Barbecue.
Woo!
Thanks everybody. Tune back in and stay tuned for Points of Order. We're going to go out because I know you love him too. Los Angelinos by Billy Joel. Bye, everybody.
Peace.